First of all, let us offer our very deep gratitude to His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj for blessing us with His divine association. Another dear godbrother of ours has also joined us yesterday and today. Sudhajivan Prabhu. Where are you, Sudhajivan Prabhu?
Behind you. You just got to...
Can we stand up for a moment? Let us welcome him to our...
Got his first experience of chach.
And of course, Malati Mataji, and Raslila Mataji, and Nartaki Mataji are continuing to bestow their auspicious mercy upon us. We have come to Suryakund. Within our Gaudiya Sampradaya, this is a very sacred place that has been worshipped by our acharyas. As you can see, it is a very lonely and quiet place. Although, in the Astakaliya Lila, every day, eternally, at around 3 o'clock, Srimati Radharani comes here to Suryakund. And on Sundays, she comes to worship the sun god, Surya Narayan. This is the place in Braj Bhumi that two of our greatest acharyas resided and performed their bhajan. The bhajan kutir of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj is just on the other side of the kund. We will be visiting that place. And also Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, while he resided in Braj Bhumi, he would live here at Suryakund. Thakur Bhaktivinoda declared Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj the commander-in-chief of the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya at that particular time. Although Thakur Bhaktivinoda had observed such sorrowful corruption and distortion of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sampradaya. In Vrindavan, he met Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, perhaps here at Suryakund, and he accepted him as his Shikshaguru. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj would be absorbed, sing within his heart the eternal lila of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, sitting right where we are, on the banks of this kund, would be totally absorbed in constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna, reciting prayers to Lord Krishna, and remembering the lilas of Sri Krishna. Any place a great personality performs his or her bhajan, that very place becomes forever permeated with the energy and the mercy of that devotee's devotion. In all Braj Bhumi, it was here that Jagannath Das Babaji performed his loving service to to Sri Sri Radha Shamsundara. He was worshipping beautiful eight metal deities of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. It's actually Gaunitai. They are known as Sona Gauranga. And the deities were so resplendent, so beautiful and effulgent, that they looked as if they were made of pure gold. In the middle of the night, a gang of murderous dacoits invaded Suryakund. They came into Jagannath Das Babaji's place of worship and stole the deities. As they were running out with the deities in their arms and their weapons in their hands, all of a sudden, all of them went completely blind and started burning with fever and could not hardly walk. So they put the deities down and somehow or other ran away to escape. Because Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu did not want to bear the separation from his dear devotee Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. But Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, thinking in terms of the safety of his beloved Lord, had his assistant send those deities to Vrindavan, where today they are worshipped not far from Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he also performed many, many, many years of pure bhajan here on the banks of Suryakund. In his humility, he was thinking that Vrindavan is such a high place. I will never understand Krishna, truly. I will never realize his mercy. So he went to Navadvip to spend the rest of his life praying his mercy for the mercy and worshipping Sri Radha Krishna in their form of Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Although very few people come to this place, it is so much surcharged with spiritual energy. And for that reason, His Holiness Satchinandan Maharaj is performing bhajan here for the entire month of Kartik. He was thinking no one will come to bother him here. But knowing his heart, we came to disturb him. But he's very happily disturbed today. The samadhis of Madhusudan Das Babaji Maharaj, who is Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's initiating spiritual master, and Bhagavat Das Babaji Maharaj, who is Gaurkishore Das Babaji's Babaji initiating spiritual master, are on the banks of Sri Suryakund. Since Radha and Krishna meet here every day, there are unlimited pastimes that are eternally taking place here. I will speak something which is way beyond our realizations, but still to hear it we can gain to some extent an appreciation of the beautiful and sweet loving exchanges between Krishna, Sri Radha and their devotees that took place here. One time, Lord Sri Krishna was in the association of Sri Radharani and her confidential associates, and he became so much intoxicated by her presence that he dropped his flute, and he did not even know that it had fallen. Prabodhananda Saraswati, he sings one prayer in this way, that sing the beauty of Srimati Radharani, Lord Sri Krishna, he drops his flute, and even his crown and his peacock feather fall from his head onto the ground. And he does not even know. So on this particular occasion, when Krishna's celebrated flute was laying on the ground, Srimati Lalita Sakhi saw that flute. And she was thinking, she actually spoke to the flute, "You are so hard, and you are so cold, and you are full of faults in the form of holes, and you're always creating so much disturbance in the minds of the residents of Vrindavan. Today I will teach you a lesson." So she very secretly took the flute and hid it within the braids of her hair. So Radha and Gopinath came to Radha Kund. And Sri Radharani challenged Krishna to play dice, gambling match with her. Now we know that gambling is against the regulative principles. Because when people in this world gamble, it is out of greed. But when Sri Radha and Krishna perform these wonderful pastime of gambling, it is simply to increase each other's love. It is greed, but a different type of greed. It is a greed to please the other by exchanging ecstatic love. So they were making bets. And first round, Sri Radharani won, Krishna's Kostubamani. So he placed it around her neck. But actually he was more happy seeing it around Sri Radharani's neck than his own. Then the second round, Sri Radharani won, and Krishna gave her pearl necklace, which Krishna was very happy to see Sri Radharani wearing. And the third round, Krishna bet his flute against Srimati Radhika's Veena. And who do you think won? Very loudly. Sri Radharani ki. So Krishna was very much disturbed. Madhu Nanga was there. He said, "Krishna, now you have lost everything." So Krishna went to look for his flute, but it wasn't there. He would usually keep it tied near his belt where his dhoti was. He could not find his flute. This was a great, great emergency. He was searching everywhere for it, but it would not be found. So he asked Madhu Mangal, "That you are a Brahmin, you know all mantras, you are a great astrologer. Perform an astrological calculation, and according to the constellations, please tell me, where is my flute?" So Madhu Mangal, Batu, he sat in meditation. Then he came out of his meditation. He said, "As a pure Brahmin, I have done my calculation, and I have come to an infallible conclusion. Lalita Sakhi has stolen your flute." At that time, Srimati Radharani, very quietly, without anyone seeing, took the flute from Lalita Sakhi and put it in her own braids. Just when Krishna was about to order a search for Srimati Lalita Sakhi, Brindadevi's maidservants came to that place at Sri Radha Kund. They were very much excited. They said that Jatila, the mother-in-law of Srimati Radharani, the mother of Abhimanyu, is now on her way to Suryakund to make sure that Srimati Radharani is doing her puja today. Ah. So immediately, they had to forget everything else and come here to Suryakund. Now Lord Sri Krishna, the way he would meet Sri Radharani in such a wonderful way is he and Madhu Mangal would come here. And Krishna would put on white dhoti and chadar and look just like a Brahmin. He would be holding scriptures and durvagras. And Madhu Mangal pretended to be his Brahmin disciple. So when they came to Suryakund, Krishna was waiting as Brahmin, and Jativa came. Actually, Jativa met Krishna on the way with Madhu Mangal, and Jativa said, "Oh, you are Brahmin? Yes, yes. Will you help us to do puja for my daughter-in-law, Sri Radharani?" Madhu Mangal said, "We are staunch brahmachari Brahmins. We have nothing to do with women. We do not worship any demigod. We exclusively worship Surya Narayan with pure Vedic mantras." So Jatila said, "That's just what we're looking for. Please, 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 please help my daughter-in-law Sri Radharani to do her puja." Said, "No, no, we cannot do it." So Jatila actually was begging at their feet of Krishna. But she thought he was Brahmin. So they agreed. So they came here. And as Sri Radharani approached, she could recognize her Thakurji, Sri Shyam Sundar, with Madhu Mangal. But Jatila was thinking they are great Brahmins. They had their paduka. And Krishna began to chant mantras to Surya Narayan. His mantras were so spellbounding that the sun god in the sky could not even move. Hearing Krishna chanting prayers to him, the sun became paralyzed. And he started to compose these incredibly beautiful prayers that even Suryadev himself could not understand, what to speak of anyone else. Then Lord Sri Krishna, after performing his worship with Madhu Mangal, he said, "Now, this most chaste, most virtuous of all young girls, Sri Radharani, now to complete the puja, you should circumambulate the priest and you should bow to his feet." And Jatila was standing right there watching everything. So Srimati Radharani offered some mantras that Krishna taught her, and then she circumambulated and she bowed down. But when she bowed down, from under her veil, her flute fell on the floor. Krishna's flute right in front of Jatila and Krishna and everyone else. So Srimati Radharani, she said, "Oh, dear mother Jatila, you know what happened? I was at Govardhan Hill, and from the top of Govardhan Hill, I saw this flute just come rolling down the mountain to the bottom. So I picked it up. And you know this flute, it creates so much distress in the hearts of the gopis. And you know what trouble it makes to all of us. So I took the flute because I want to throw it in the Jamuna so no one will ever hear it again." So Jatila was saying, "Oh, this is very good." So Jatila took the flute. Now Krishna's flute was in the hands of Jatila. So this Brahmin, who was Krishna, spoke to Jatila. He said, "I am going on my way to Mathura. I will take this flute and I will go to a distant distant place far from Vrindavan where no one will ever find it, and I will dispose of it there. Please give it to me. So Jatila handed the flute to Krishna. Now we must give Dakshina. Because after all, no proper Vedic sacrifice is complete or auspicious unless Dakshina is given to the Brahmins who performed the yajnas. So Maru Mangal Krishna. They said, no. Krishna said, I'm a brahmachari, I cannot take anything from a woman. But Maru Mangal, somehow or other, he accepted some dakshina in the form of sweets. He would always get sweets like this. So as they were leaving, Krishna was speaking very affectionately to his flute, telling him how much he felt separation from his presence. So on one occasion, Madhu Mangal, after performing Surya Dev's puja with Krishna here, and Yashoda and Jatila Mai gave nice laddus and sweets as donation to Madhu Mangal, he kept them all very, very nicely tied up in a piece of cloth and kept it near his belt. And he didn't tell anyone he had it. But Lord Sri Balaram could understand. So Lord Sri Balaram said, Bato, what do you have hidden in that cloth? He said, this is the prasadam of Surya Narayan. What interest is it to you? Balaram said, where did you get it? He said, I perform yajna. I please the Brijabasis by my perfectly pronounced Vedic mantras. They were so happy they gave me these sweets. Balaram said, please open up that cloth. Let us see. Madhu Mangal replied, no, I will not open it up because I know you cowherd boys. You're very greedy. You're not Brahmins of high class. If you see these sacred sweets, which are the prasadam of Surya Narayan, you will become so lusty, you will lose control of your senses. I will not show them to you. Balaramji said, you are a Brahmin. Brahmins are not supposed to be greedy. We are all friends. You should divide whatever prasad you have with all of us. That will be auspicious. Madhu Mangal, he said, I will not give anything to any of you, nor will I take anything myself. When I am inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then I will decide what is to be done with these laddus. Balaramji whispered to Madhu Mangal in his ear, these cowherd boyfriends are very agitated. You better divide these sweets with them, otherwise I do not know what they will do to you. Madhu Mangal said, these cowherd boys, including yourself, are all nothing but insignificant blades of grass in comparison to me. I am a Brahmin. I am God on earth. You ignorant gopas, how dare you threaten me despite warnings of the Vedas of what the reaction is of disrespecting a Brahmin. So Sri Balaramji made a signal to the cowherd boys. One of the gopas very, very... Actually, all the gopas came around. They surrounded Madhu Mangalam with folded hands in great humility. They said, please give us some charity. Please give us something. He said, no! I will not give you anything! How dare you! So one of them, from behind, covered his eyes with the hands so he couldn't see anything. And another boy, he grabbed that little satchel of prasad and went running away. Madhu Mangalam was so very, very much disturbed. Then another boy came from behind and pulled out the rear part of his dhoti. Then he took both his hands to put it back, and another boy came in front and pulled out the front part of his dhoti. Then another boy came and grabbed his stick. And then another boy came and grabbed his flute. Then another boy came and untied his turban and threw it on the ground. Another boy came and untied the knot on top of his hair. And they were all laughing and laughing and eating the prasad. Madhu Mangalam was, he was laughing. He was crying. He was chastising. He was giving brahminical curses. All simultaneously. Then he went and grabbed Krishna's stick, and with his dhoti falling off, with one hand trying to keep his clothes on, with his, he started chasing after the boys with the sticks, and the other boys picked up their sticks, and they started stick fighting. Then Lord Sri Krishna, he went and he embraced Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal became a little pacified. Then Lord Krishna personally put on his dhoti. Tied his turban in a way that made him look very funny. He gave him back his stick and his flute. But all the laddus were consumed by the cowherd boys. So Madhu Mangal, he said, do you know what you have all done? You have stolen the property of a Brahmin. You are impure, whimsical cowherd boys. And I shall inform everyone in Braj Bhumi of what you have done. And Balaramji whispered in his ear and said, Bato, you are the cause of our sins. And Madhu Mangal replied, that until all of you beg forgiveness, perform penances to atone for this offense, and change your lowly cowherd boy ways, I will not speak to you again. And when everyone heard that, they began to laugh very, very happily. So this is Surya Kund, where unlimited beautiful, beautiful pastimes take place. Madhu Mangal would get his nicest prasad here. Krishna would openly have beautiful, sweet, loving pastimes with Srimati Radharani, even in the presence of Jatila, Kutila, and even sometimes Abhimanu. In the guise of Brahmin priest. There's another interesting story similar to that that happened just not far from here, a place called Gauri Kund, where Abhimanyu was walking and he happened to see Purnamasi, the guru of Brijvasis. She said, where are you going? I'm going to Mathura to find a place for Srimati Radhar, for Radha to live. Because there's so many rumors about her with Krishna. I'm taking her out of Braj Bhumi for good and settling her in Mathura. So of course, Purnamasi cannot bear separation of Sri Radharani. And Sri Radharani never leaves Braj Bhumi. So she said, this is not very auspicious. It is actually very inauspicious. I think what you should do is you should have Radharani worship Gauri, Parvati. Chandravali worshipped, and you see how nice her husband is and how chaste she is. So you should worship Gauri in this way. So Krishna came to the temple of Parvati, Gauri, and he actually wore all the dress of the deities. And he assumed a golden complexion. He looked just like Gauri. And Mara Mangal was the priest. So they ordered Radharani, you will worship. She said, no, I don't want to. Yes, you must worship. So then Krishna, in the form of the deity, began to speak. He said, no, I cannot fulfill your prayer. Abhimanyu Jatila said, what is the prayer that you cannot fulfill? The prayer is that she wants to protect her husband. She is such a chaste and faithful lady. She exclusively keeps her heart always with her one Lord. Kamsa has already decided to capture Abhimanyu and cut off his head. And Sri Radharani is begging for the benediction to protect her husband, but I cannot do that. So then Jatila and Kutila and Abhimanyu, they were begging, please do something, save. Abhimanyu was saying, save me, is there anything you can do? And Gauri said, because Sri Radharani is the crest jewel of all chaste ladies, if you vow that you will never ever take her out of Brajbhumi, then we will bless you that Kamsa will not cut off your head. So they fell at her feet and made that vow. These pleasurable pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna are enacted to fulfill their own intimate ecstatic desires, to please each other with love. But they are also performed in such a way that anyone who sincerely hears them, their natural attraction to the love of Vrindavan awakens in their hearts. Surya Narayan is he who gives all light and all life to the universe. It is Krishna himself who is that power within the sun god Surya, who empowers him to give all life and all light within the universal creation. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hoya Andhakar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, where there is Krishna, who is like the sun, there is all light. In the absence of Krishna, where there is Maya, there is only darkness. Srila Prabhupada, from the early 1940s, when he began his Back to Godhead magazine, he wrote this on the cover as part of the logo. And to this day, where there is Godhead, there is light. Where there is nations, there is darkness. When there is darkness, there are so many fears, so many anxieties. Just like last night when we were coming from Bairavan, we were rushing devotees. because to take boats on Jamuna in the middle of in darkness is very, very dangerous. First of all, the boatmen don't know where they're going. But the dacoits, they know exactly where to go at night. That is the time when there is so much danger. It is the time of thieves, the time of murderers. It is the time when you don't understand what is in front of you, what is behind you, what is on all sides of you. There's danger at every step in this material world, but when you're in darkness, there's really danger at every step. I remember when I was at New Vrindavan, I used to have to do this all-night kirtan. I would walk down from the Brahmachari ashram to the Bahulaban. And it's about 2 miles. Not on a road, but you had to climb down a mountain on this mud path that the devotees entitled that path Agasura, because it would just devour people. And I would leave in the pitch dark and come up in the pitch dark. And there was no such thing as a torch or a candle. That was too much opulence. All of you are walking around with torches. At New Vrindavan in the 70s, if you had a torch, you would be excommunicated for being a sense gratifier, trying to enjoy worldly opulence. So for years, yes, Rasleela? Mataji? So I would go down, and oh, how much you appreciate the moonlight. When the moon was shining, you can actually see where you're going. But on those dark moon nights, pitch dark. Pitch dark. I remember walking into trees. One time I walked off the path and rolled down a mountain. Way, way down. Probably about 300 feet. Just rolled down, just rolled, 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 rolled. And then when I got up, everywhere I'd walk, just kept walking into trees. Couldn't see anything. Darkness is a real time of difficulty. But according to our holy Shastras, in this material world, practically everyone is in darkness. Ignorance is darkness. What is ignorance? Well, we do not understand who we are and what is our relationship with God. What is the purpose of our life? So there is so much intense suffering everywhere in this world. Why? Because of darkness. Because of Maya. That which is not. We are thinking we are this body. We are thinking we are this of some caste, of some external designation. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas. This was the first teaching Lord Chaitanya gave to Sanatana Goswami. It is the beginning of knowledge to realize I'm not this body, I'm the soul, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. But due to this darkness of ignorance, there is so much greed and lust and pride and envy, anger and illusion. All the sufferings in the entire creation are because people are in fear and confused due to being in darkness, Maya. This is the temple of Surya Narayan. Blessed ancient temple. Krishna is the power of the light of the sun. When we remember Krishna sincerely, all darkness is dispelled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us a simple process of how to always live in the brilliant light where there is eternal happiness and eternal purpose by constantly chanting the holy name. So in this holy place, let us pray at the lotus feet of Sri Surya Narayan. So he will enlighten our hearts, by helping us to always remember Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and never forget them. Krishna illuminates our heart according to his own sweet will, when we please him, by our humility, by our dedication, by our eagerness to serve, our eagerness to hear about his glories, our eagerness to worship and serve his devotees, and our conviction and faith in his holy names. Suryakund is one of the most confidential special places where devotees come to worship the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Let us pray for her mercy on this day, that she will bless us with the eternal loving service of her beloved servants. Thank you very much. And now we will hear from His Holiness Satchinandan Swami Maharaj, who has very, very sublime realizations being a resident of Suryakund.